Next, I want to look at contracts and the intentions of the parties. HMRC status inspectors will always ask to see the contract or engagement letter. Does one exist? Does it say what it should? Is it a contract for services pointing to self-employment? Or does it read like a contract of service or of employment? I've seen too many contracts that have been employment contracts where a few words have been changed because people are sometimes too lazy to get a proper contract drawn up. A contract can be written, verbal, or implied. And all too often, there's little or nothing in writing. But we must not overlook the less obvious contractual terms. This might be in the job advert, the purchase order, a letter, or an email. HMRC compliance officers will ask for evidence of the contractual terms. So what will they find? The intentions of the parties might be decisive. I'm quoting now from Massey versus Crown Life Assurance, a 1998 case. It seems to me on the authorities that when it is a situation which is in doubt, it is open to the parties by agreement to stipulate what the legal situation between them shall be. If their relationship is ambiguous and is capable of being one or the other, then the parties can remove the ambiguity by the very agreement itself which they make with one another. In other words, it is always important to set out those intentions, to have something in writing, a contract or at least a form of engagement letter, that should reflect the terms of the contract and the agreement between the parties. A substitution clause may help to establish self-employment, but of course not if it's a sham, if it isn't real. A clause which says that the worker will make good in their own time any bad work will help. But again, we need proof to show that that clause is enforced. My advice is to fit the facts to the contract and exclude irrelevant terms. And please remember, the contract may be the clincher.